Well, today we are going to be looking at our mission and our vision, and if I remember correctly, we did this last year, January, the first Sunday in January, and it was a cold, snowy day then as well, as I think every day last winter was, and the roads were a little rough, and so our numbers were down a little bit, but grateful to have you all here today. We'll be recording this, we'll be sending this off to those who are in our snowbirds as well. But I think it's good for a church, any organization as a whole, to constantly be reminded of what we're here for. Why are we here? What are we doing? What are we existing for? Where are we hoping to go in the next year of time as we look at? Because to fail to do that is to allow ourselves to get into a mode of we just start functioning and we just kind of start going through almost the motions, so to speak. And so we want to make sure that each year we remind ourselves of our mission and our vision. Some of the big picture stuff doesn't change much, but we still need to be reminded of that. Why are we here? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Why are you here this morning? Say, well, I don't know. I'm here to worship the Lord. Well, great. I'm here to learn more about Him. Great. But we are a church. We're a living, breathing organism. So where is our church going? Where are we headed? What are we hoping to accomplish? What are we hoping to do? Is our only goal just to simply show up on Sunday morning and sing a few songs and hear a message and then go out and say, well, I guess we did church? Or do we have some greater purpose? Do we have some greater goal, some greater objective in mind as we continue to pursue what God has called us to do? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at that. So if you are a visitor this morning, you say, well, I came to hear a message preached. We will be looking at Scripture, but you're not going to hear maybe an expository message that you would hear 51 other weeks out of the year. Today, we're simply going to look at and look at what God has for us in the future of our church as we continue to move forward. There's four major parts that we're going to look at today and four major sections that we're going to examine. The first one is a review of our mission and our vision that we put out last year. We're going to review that. We're going to talk about how that was fulfilled this year. We're going to talk about what our goals are for this coming year and working on some of these areas, and then how we intend to actively continue to fulfill our mission and our vision as we continue to move forward. And so last year we put out, I think when I was here, I'd been here maybe 3 weeks or so, I preached a message on our mission. And then the first Sunday of January, we did our vision. And so today we're going to combine all those into one. We're going to review what is our mission and what is our vision. What are we looking for specifically in a church as we continue to move forward? As was up on the screen, I think it's off now, the passage in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is necessary for any entity, any organization. We need to know, what are we trying to accomplish? Where are we going? What is taking place? And so this morning, as we examine this, reviewing and reminding ourselves of what God has called us to do, I trust that we will be renewed in our efforts and renewed in our zeal and desire for what God has for us. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll take a look at this morning. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And even as Tim just sang, to love you is the heartbeat of our mission. Father, we can have all the programs in the world, we can have all the ministries in the world, we can have all the functional aspects of a church that we think of in 21st century America that we could possibly have and miss out on loving you. And if we do that, we've missed the boat. So, Father, I pray that you would engage within our hearts a love, a desire, a passion that burns hotter and brighter each day to know you, to fall in love with you, to learn more about you, and then to take the love that you have so graciously demonstrated to us and to share that with others that we come in contact with. Father, help us as believers in this church, Whitneyville Bible Church, to have a passion that is undeniable for you and a passion for others that is undeniable as well. Father, I pray this morning that you would give clarity of thought and mind as we review, as we examine, as we look at where do we intend to go in this next year? What do we intend to accomplish? How do we intend to put into practice what you have called us to do? So, Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. One of the things, the two aspects that we've communicated, and I don't know if I've done as good a job as we should have over this last year of continually reminding us, but our mission, what are we here for? Our mission that we are here to accomplish is to unconditionally love God and others. That's our mission. We want to unconditionally love God, and as a result of that, we want to unconditionally love others. You say, well, we should have as our mission to disciple. We should have as our mission to soul win, to knock on doors, to do whatever. Well, all of that is going to come out of a love for God, first and foremost, and then a love for others. What drives me to witness to somebody? What drives me to disciple somebody? What drives me to share God's love with somebody else? It's my love for God, God's love for me, ultimately. If I do things, I grew up in a church where you were obligated and you were, I could say, coerced into doing a performance Christianity. You were motivated by peer pressure. You were motivated by public, sometimes, humiliation if you didn't perform correctly. And so what happened? People began to function as Christians, not out of a love for God or a love for others, but because they were afraid that on the next Sunday, maybe the pastor was going to have everybody raise their hand who witnessed to somebody this week, or how many of you led somebody to the Lord this week, or show of hands, how many did something? And then, of course, by consequence, those who didn't raise their hands would be ashamed. And so, therefore, we began to be motivated because we didn't want to be publicly humiliated. Or we were motivated because that was how we got into office of leadership, or that's how we got some benefits. But for us, our mission must always be to unconditionally love God and others. That's difficult. In fact, it's impossible outside of God to unconditionally love other people. Anybody live with somebody? I mean, unless you're by yourself and you don't work with anybody, you're a hermit complete through and through. It's tough to always love everybody you're supposed to love, right? I mean, let's just face it. I don't always love my wife. I don't always love my children like I'm supposed to. But how do I do that? I do that because of the love of God that He has demonstrated in my life. So our mission is to unconditionally love God and others. And then our vision. What are we hoping to accomplish when this church is all said and done? And hopefully that won't be until the Lord returns. But when this church is all said and done, what will people say about this church? If we got up today and we said, sorry, folks, I'm really sorry, but today is the last day we're ever going to have church services here at Whitneyville Bible Church. We are closing down effective today. What would we want this church to be remembered for? That's kind of our vision. What do we want to be striving for? What do we want to be looking for? And so we've said that our vision is to have a healthy church and a blessed community. What does that mean? A healthy church means that we function properly. We function according to God's word. That we live and we behave and we have functionality the way God would intend us to do. And then that we would take that functionality, we would take that love for God, and that we would bless our community, that we would do things to engage our community in such a way that they say, you know what? I don't know what it is about those people at Whitneyville Bible Church, but there's something different about them. They're unique. There's something there that they have that I don't have. We want to engage our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so last year we gave three areas of this vision: our vision of leadership, our vision of the congregation, and our vision of the community. Our vision of the leadership, we said this: we envision a plurality of elders who are biblically qualified, humble, servant leader shepherds. So what do we envision from our leadership, our elders specifically? We envision that they've gone through a biblical qualification. We envision that they're going to be humble men. We envision that they're going to be servant leaders. We envision that they're going to be shepherds. As leaders of the church, as elders of the church, we lead in such a way that we model what Christ did in John chapter 13, where we take off the outer garment, we take off the basin and the towel, and we wash the feet of those that God has allowed us to minister to. We want humble, servant leader shepherds. Second, we said we envision a group of men who fulfill the role of deacon in a gracious, loving, and servant-minded manner, and ensure that the benevolent needs of the church are taken care of. We've made strides this year to model Acts chapter 6, where the deacons are not just simply janitors and maintenance men, but that the deacons are taking care of the benevolent needs of the widows and the benevolent needs of those that we come in contact with in our community. And so we want to make sure that our church is functioning with that regard. And then thirdly, under our leadership, we said we envision a plurality of leadership that equips the saints for the work of the ministry. That's Ephesians chapter 4, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. So we envision leadership of this church going forward that would say we're humble, we're servant leaders, we are here to do what God has asked us to do. We're here to function the way Scripture indicates to us that we're supposed to function. So deacons do a certain thing. Elders do a certain thing. We work together as leaders to fulfill the functions that God has given to us. And then we talked about our vision of the congregation. So it's not just limited to the leadership. Sometimes, especially in our day and age of politics, we want to look at the leaders and we want to blame them for everything. Well, it's all their fault. If they just got their act together and did what we want, it'd all be okay. It takes both and to work together. And in a church, it's no different. It takes the leadership and the congregation working together. So for the congregation, we said this. We envision a body of believers who joyfully and willingly submit to their God-given leadership. What do we envision here? We envision, first of all, that leaders are functioning properly. Leaders are doing what God has asked them to do. But then we also envision that the congregation is going to joyfully and willingly submit to their God-given authority and their leadership. We envision a relationship that is healthy and mutually focused on Christ. Second of all, we envision a body of believers who graciously and faithfully fulfill the one another commands of Scripture. Most likely, in this next year, on Sunday evenings, I'll be preaching through the one another's. There are several commands in Scripture. If you haven't done this, I challenge you to do it. If you have some kind of search engine on your computer, on your phone, or whatever you may have, search for the phrase one another. And look through the New Testament and see where each time it is used. There's a multitude of times. You could condense it all down. You could combine it all down into about 14 or 15 major one another commands that we are to fulfill to one another. But we envision a body of believers who graciously and faithfully fulfills the one another commands of Scripture. And then thirdly, we said we envision a body of believers who embraces, welcomes, and ministers to all generations of people. So we want a body of believers who is functioning in a healthy manner. A body of believers who is embracing, who is welcoming, and ministering to all generations of people. We said in the promotional video that we put on our website, we want to be a place where a 9-year-old and a 90-year-old can worship side by side. That is how it has to work. There are churches today who say, well, you know what, we only want the 20-year-olds in this service because we only want to sing their kind of music, and we want all the older people in this service because we only want to do their types of things. And what we've in essence done in America is we've begun to segregate out our congregations by age. That's not scriptural. Nowhere in Scripture do we see Christ telling through Paul or through whoever it may be writing, saying, well, here's the church for the young people and here's the church for the old people. And so let's separate them so that we can have what each one of them wants to have. So we envision a church where the generations function together. Is that a challenge? Yes, it is. I don't think there's ever been a time, at least that I can think of, in the history of Christianity where the gap between older people and younger people is bigger than it is today. And so how do we take both generations and bring them together? This is why churches are starting, because young people or old people, either one, say, we're tired of the other generation, so we're going to go do our own thing. And so we begin to break out by generations. What we envision is a church where all generations function well together. That's a challenge that's going to take God's work. But then we talked about our vision of the community. We envision a community who is actively engaged with the gospel of Christ. So what do we want? We envision a place where this community, specifically Alto, I guess you could consider us because we technically are that address, Caledonia, Middleville, this whole area, we envision that this community would be a place that is actively engaged with the gospel of Christ. Now, are we excited if somebody else, some other church, actively engages people with the gospel? Absolutely we are. Are we excited when those people are engaged by people from Whitneyville with the gospel? Yes, that's our goal. We want to make sure that wherever we go, that we are taking the gospel with us. What drives us to share the gospel with somebody? Our love for God, God's love for us, and consequently our love for other people. And then we envision a community who is actively engaged with the love of Christ. Sometimes it's not always possible to simply just sit down and share the gospel with somebody. It's not always possible in your first meeting to say, you know what, I want to take you through Romans Road, or I want to share the entire gospel plan with you. Sometimes that begins by just simply saying, you know what, we love you and we care for you, and here's how we're going to help encourage you, and we want to build a relationship with you so that we can share the gospel with you. I was sharing with somebody recently about a radio station in Denver when we were there. It was a national radio station, and they would have, on Mondays, they would have what they called Make a Difference Monday, and they would have people call in from all over the country sharing their stories about how they had made a difference in somebody else's life. And I can remember one particular Monday, as I was driving, I was listening to this, and this person called in, and he said, I just want to share the story. He said, I let somebody cut in front of me in traffic today, so now they know they're going to go to heaven because they know the gospel. And the DJs were like, oh, amen, that's wonderful. I'm like, you didn't share the gospel because you let somebody cut in front of you in traffic. But we do need to show the love of Christ to people. It's not like we go around beating people on the heads. We need to show the love of Christ. We need to share with them that something has made a difference in us. God has made a difference in us. We show the love of Christ to them. But what is the goal? To share the gospel with them. Because we can let a million people cut in front of us in traffic, and a million people can go right on to hell because we never shared the gospel. And so that's our vision. That's what we laid out last year. If you remember the first Sunday in January, our mission to unconditionally love God and others, our vision to have a healthy church and to have a blessed community. And so as we look back on 2014, how did we accomplish that? How did we allow ourselves, by God's grace, to begin to fulfill that? Well, first and foremost, we began roundtables. Once a quarter, we began roundtables to increase the communication between the congregation and the leadership. Some of you have been engaged in those. We'll have one of those again in February. It's just a chance for us as leadership to be able to sit down with the congregation and to be able to talk about what's going on. My belief is that a leadership-congregation relationship should be similar to a husband and wife relationship. There has to be dwelling with each other according to knowledge. The leadership has to be engaged in the life of the congregation to know what's going on, what's happening, what's taking place. We need to understand where they're at, finding people where they're at, and helping them go to where God wants them to go. And so we began roundtables to be able to increase the communication between the congregation and the leadership. We also redeveloped or redesigned our website and produced a promotional video that was to increase the virtual presence for new visitors. If you are aware of what happens today, especially with younger generation, they will visit your church online long before they will ever step foot in the door of your church. And so we want to continue to make an awareness and a presence in our website so that we can share who we are, who Christ has allowed us to be, in order to share the gospel with them. We have other things planned to continue to help encourage that. Then we also had some community outreaches. We had, first of all, the Caledonia Parade, July 4th time frame, and then also the Family Fest to continue to show that we are actively engaged in our community. We want to get outside of the four walls of our church and to be able to engage in relationship and in life, touching life with people in this community. If we just simply stay within this building and say, boy, we hope, we got a sign out there, and we hope people are just going to randomly show up. It may happen occasionally, but it's not going to happen like it used to in the 60s and the 70s. We must actively engage our community. We must show them that we care. We must show them that we love. We must show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we had community outreach. Then we have a new deacon selection process and role definition to align ourselves with the biblical model of Acts chapter 6. Our deacons are now functioning in a way that they handle the benevolent needs of the church as well as taking care of the widows. I've heard from many of the widows that they've appreciated the engagement and they've appreciated the new contact and relationship. We've also, in addition to that, we formed a maintenance team, which needs to still have some work to it, but we had a maintenance team to take the burden off the deacons and place the responsibility of the facilities on the congregation. And then we've had a new elder selection process, which we were going to have today, but we'll have that next week. Dave Tanner being reviewed by the congregation. We want to make sure that we are aligning ourselves with Scripture. Here's what Scripture says about an elder. Here's what Scripture says an elder must prove that he has done. We need to have an account for that and making sure that we have done that. We were also involved this year in a church missions trip to Kenya to show our love and our support for the gospel around the world. Appreciate Tom taking care of arranging that and getting that set up. And then we've also had an increase of one another's to show our love and concern for other brethren in our church. I think it's in the bulletin. I didn't look at the bulletin today, but Ron has a thank you note in there. 200 cards, I think Ron said, that Sharon got. I know not all from Whitneyville, but a lot from Whitneyville. I know of other people, when I go to visit them, they'll talk about, oh, these people brought food over to me. This family has brought food over to me. We've seen an increase of one another's, of each other taking care of one another and helping to encourage one another. That's been done by God's grace. So what do we need to continue to work on? What are our goals? What are our challenges for 2015 that we need to continue to look at and to continue to grow in? First of all, and we'll begin looking at some passages of Scripture with this. I think they'll be up on the screen. But first of all, an increase in the shepherding roles of the elders. One of the things that we need to constantly be reminded of and constantly be engaged in is our role as shepherds, our role as caretakers and overseers and building relationships with people in the church. Two verses or two sets of verses. First of all, Acts 20, verse 28. Paul is writing there about his missionary journey. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves," he's speaking to the elders there, "and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And then 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So as elders, we need to make sure that we are shepherding as God has intended us to shepherd. We need to make sure that we're building relationships. We're involved in people's lives. We're engaged in people's lives. It's caring for one another. It's caring for the flock that God has called us to care for. The next goal or the next challenge we have is to further relationship building outside the church. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So what does the author of Hebrews tell us? We are to exhort one another each day, every day. If your only relationship building takes place on Sunday morning with other believers in Whitneyville, I believe we're missing the point of Scripture when it talks about as brothers, as sisters, we are to be exhorting each other every day. This doesn't mean that we go to what Acts chapter 2 was it had with the communal living. We're not going to sell all of our stuff and start living together. That'd be means for chaos. But all of us need to be engaged in doing life together with other believers from Whitneyville Bible Church. As we continue to move forward, we continue to see this fulfilled, whether that's through small group ministries, whether that's through outreaches, doing things together, doing life together, making sure that we are engaging in the life of one another. We asked this, I think, when we preached through the series on discipleship, but I'll ask it again. Who are you actively discipling? Think about that. Who are you, not us as a whole, not me, I've got to answer that question too. Who are you actively discipling? Who are you actively engaging your life into in this church or outside of this church? Then also, number three, furthering our visibility in the community. One of the things that we need to continue to work on is continue to share our message, to share who we are with this community. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we need to continue to let our light shine before others. One of the couple of the things that we are doing in the month of January, we will be hosting the Caledonia Chamber of Commerce meeting here the second week in January. I appreciate the ladies who are providing or organizing the lunch for that. We're also going to be hosting the end of January, the Southwest IFCA sectional meeting here. We need to continue to allow the community to see, you know what? Whitneyville Bible Church is a place who cares about us and they care about others. We need to actively engage our lives in the life of this community, allowing ourselves to be able to proclaim the love of Christ and to engage them with the gospel. What else do we need to do? We need to continue to identify and disciple future leadership, including both deacons and elders. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul addressing Timothy, he says this, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." One of the things, and this I think will fall on me a lot as well, is to continue to identify and disciple future leadership. We can't have a mindset that says, well, we hope they're just going to magically appear. I could think of hours upon hours that were poured into my life that have allowed me to get to this point where I am in ministry. We need to continue to identify those who are future leaders and to disciple them and to encourage them and to help them as they move along as God leads them. Then we need to continue to engage in mission work around the world through ministry trips as well as active engagement with the missions conference. One of the things that I appreciate in ministry and I appreciate about this last year is the mission trip we took to Kenya. And many of you were a part of that in giving to that and helping with that and praying for that and encouraging us in that. And I believe that we were able to accomplish some great things. We need to continue to do those things. We need to continue to have that desire and that vision. We have a missions conference coming up September 23rd through 27th. We're doing it a little bit different this year. It sounds like a broken record. We keep saying we're doing things a little bit different. We're going to do it from Wednesday through Sunday. We're trying to focus our attention on including the children of our Awana program, and we're also trying to engage more of us as adults in the process of our missions program. We're trying to do what we can to engage our congregation as much as possible in missions. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is our great commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I know I have said this often, but one of my, I guess, hobbies in ministry is missions. And I am passionate about missions. I enjoy missions. And we need to make sure that as a body of believers, we are engaged in missions. Missions is not just in Zimbabwe. Missions starts right here in Alto, Michigan. It starts in Caledonia. It starts in sharing the love of Christ with those that we come in contact with. And then finally, one other challenge or one other thing that we need to continue to work on is we need to continue to engage the older generations with the younger generations. This is a challenge. Titus chapter 2 encourages the older to teach and disciple and mentor the younger. So the onus or the responsibility of bringing along the younger generation falls where? Falls on the older ones. I feel like I'm trying to couch this last one in a lot of grace, because I feel like a lot of times what I hear is from both sides. The older say, "When are the younger going to step up and do stuff?" And the younger are constantly telling me, "Well, here's our ideas and here's our thoughts and here's these things." We've got to bring the two together. The older ones, you have to encourage, you have to disciple, you have to bring along, allow for opportunities for the younger ones to get involved. Younger ones, you need to be active, you need to be involved, you need to be visible, present. One of the challenges of the older and the younger generation is that the older ones, a lot of times people will tell me, I've already done my time, I've done my service, let somebody else do that. There's a lot of challenges to bringing together the older and the younger, but we have to work at this. I feel like we have increased this last year in the number of younger families that we have attending, the number of children that we have coming, and we need to continue to actively bring the two together, the two generations together. We need to be able to work together, to function together, to live together, to hand off the baton, so to speak, to the next generation. So those are the things that we need to work on, those challenges that we have as we continue to move forward. Increasing the shepherding roles of the elders, furthering relationship building outside the church, furthering our visibility in the community, continue to identify and disciple future leadership, and continue to engage the older generations with the younger generations. So how do we intend to do this? What are the practical ways in which over this next year we intend to accomplish that? First and foremost, there must be a commitment to prayer and a focus on Christ. It would be very easy for us to move into a legalistic application right now. Folks, let's just do better. You know you should be here. You know you should do this. You know you should be doing this kind of stuff, so now you just need to do it. We could do that. But that would not be the right way in which to handle that. So how do we accomplish these goals, these challenges? First of all, a commitment to prayer and a focus on Christ. We must continue to actively focus our attention on Christ as the head of this church. We must continue to rely on the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually and in our church corporately. How are we going to accomplish what God has called us to do? How are we going to continue to show the love of Christ to this community? It's through Jesus Christ and His work in our life, through the Holy Spirit and His enablement in our life. And so we must have a commitment to prayer and a focus on Christ. One of the things that we have planned in the fall in connection with our International Day of Prayer is to do some type of teaching on corporate prayer. Again, I've said this repeatedly and I'll say it again. The only time that prayer can occur is not just on Wednesday nights at 6:45. I know that there are some of you who are prohibited from work, from obligations, whatever, to be here at 6:45 on Wednesday. So that's not the only time that you can meet with other people in this church and pray, nor do you have to meet in this building and pray. There's nothing sacred about this building. But we are to be meeting together and praying together as a body of believers. So whether that's the men at Fortune Chef, whether that's the needle threaders, whether that's whatever group it is, taking time to meet together, to pray together, to encourage ourselves in the prayer of God to God and His enablement through His Holy Spirit. The younger generation, we are actively engaging the younger generation. I appreciate Dave, who's not here, but Dave and Nancy are spearheading the kind of getting a younger group together, and they are going to be meeting regularly once a month for fellowship, for community outreach, for encouragement, for service. We met last month in December. We'll be meeting again in a couple of weeks to be able to talk about how can we continue to reach out, how can we connect with other families, how can we continue to engage the younger generation in our area. On that note, we've had for years, the last 15 years, Ken and Nancy Norris have run our Young at Heart ministry, which has done a tremendous job, but they are stepping off from doing that. So we need somebody who is willing to step up and to run Young at Heart to be able to be engaged in that ministry if that's something that continues to move forward. And then our men's ministry. We need to proactively engage our men in the area of prayer, fellowship, ministry, and service, as well as training and outreach opportunities. This will be facilitated by our monthly men's breakfasts, which are going to run from April through November. We are going to coordinate those with the deacons, and as they have needs from the widows, from the benevolent needs, we're going to try to coordinate those with the men. But we want to have times of prayer, times of encouragement for our men. We're planning to attend a men's conference in Grand Haven in February. We also plan to do a couple of men's outings to encourage fellowship and outreach for men and their sons and their grandsons. Right now, we're tentatively planning some kind of outdoor outreach, as well as the possibility of a Tigers game on Saturday, May 9th, as an outreach possibility as well. We have to engage the men in a coordinated effort. I appreciate the women's ministry of Whitneyville. It's done well. It's active. It's involved. And men, we need to provide some organization and some insight as well to make sure that we are actively engaging other men in our ministry. And so that is something that will be taking place as well, a more visible presence of our men's ministry. Finally, probably the biggest area of visibility that we will begin to implement this coming year and the years to follow is the implementation of a vision team. Last May, we talked about this as a board, and they gave the go-ahead to establish a vision team. One of the challenges that we have is that we have built a building. We are now doing fairly well. The building is paid for, but now what do we do? And we need to be able to provide leadership and vision and direction to us as a ministry as a whole. So where are we going? What are we doing? So I have asked Ben if he would come. Ben is willing to at least be the spokesperson today. One of the things I want to try to avoid is me being up here all the time saying, we're changing this and we're changing that, because then it's going to happen what happened in Denver. Well, this young guy, he came in and changed everything. It's all his fault. So I'm trying to include other people in this fault. But Ben is going to come, and he's going to share a little bit about our vision team, and then we'll wrap up after Ben is done.
Well, I'm excited this morning to promote this new team. I mean, you know, we all have a lot of other teams around here, but this is a team you want to be on. This is what I call the dream team, and this is the game changer. This changes lives and changes hearts. And we all don't know what God has planned for us this year. And so we want to throw this out to each one of you to participate with us. Now, we're thinking about, actually, we're going to probably have meetings once a month, but say you don't want to come to the meetings. We'd still really like to know your ideas, your thoughts. We want to know what God has laid on your heart for not only 2015, but beyond that for Whitneyville Bible Church. You know, what is God's will for Whitneyville Bible Church in the future? And so we're really looking forward to seeing what God will do this year with this vision team, to see where he will lead us. I mean, we're relying on God. This isn't something we're promoting that we're going to do. We're looking to see what God's going to do. How is he going to lead Whitneyville Bible Church? What kind of doors is he going to open for all of us as believers here? How are we going to get more people into the church? I mean, there's a lot of questions, but we're relying on God, of course, for all of that. And so we need to, all of us need to really seek the Lord in this. Prayer is so important, and you guys are all prayer warriors, and I know in my life I've seen God answer so many prayers, and I know you have also. But this is really a hard issue. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So this is important because this is the future of our church. And, you know, we've discussed over and over again how we'd like to see younger families come into this church and for this church to grow. And I'd like to see that too. But God is the one that will grow this church. And so we're relying on him to use us. It's so wonderful to see God use different people in different ways. We're all gifted in different ways. And to see God be able to use our gifts for the promotion of the gospel is huge. So there's a lot of different ways you can participate. You don't have to be involved on the team, but if you could tell Pastor or even myself, if you've got ideas, if you've prayed about them and the Lord keeps bringing something to your mind that you'd like to share with us, we'd really like to hear from you. So what would this look like? What would this vision team look like? What would we be discussing? You're on the cutting edge, you really are, because like Pastor was saying, the mortgage is paid off. To be honest with you, on Wednesday night, Sawana, almost I think every one of our classrooms is full. What would it take for for God to fill every one of these seats in front of us, and He can do it. Would we be ready for that? Do we have the facility to be able to incorporate more people, more kids on Wednesday night? Do we have enough classrooms? Things could change real quickly. Well, how long would it take us to be able to improve the facility, to expand the facility? At least a couple years. Could be 2 to 3 years. So one of the things this vision team is looking at, we want to be ready if that occurs. And God can make it happen. He's an amazing God. So that's one of the things. Ministries. We are all looking forward to Elijah possibly coming on as a youth pastor. That didn't happen. But does that mean that we're not going to continue to pursue that? No. We feel that's very important to try to get somebody in place for our youth with a youth pastor. So we're going to still pursue that. Different ministries. What will the Lord bring us this year and next year and down the road for ministries that enable us to get the gospel out in the community, which you've already heard Pastor talk about. So important for us as believers to build relationships with other people. Once we build that relationship, the Lord's going to give us that opportunity to witness to that person. So it's so important, as we know, to walk closer with our Lord in our relationship. It's also very important that we make relationships with other people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stay really broad. I don't want to really get into too much detail about ministries, but it gives you some idea of what we're looking at. And then resources. Again, that goes back to, I think, each one of us. The Lord has blessed us so much that, we're in a church this morning where we don't make any payments on anymore. It's all paid off. The resources are really endless. We're sitting on 30-something acres of land here. The church is on it. We have the parking lot and a couple of small sheds out here. What is the Lord going to do to allow us to develop the property here? Maybe it won't happen, but maybe it will. It could be a great outreach to the community to bring people in, to have something set up back there. Some kind of a park, parsonage, chapel. The idea, the resources are limitless. And so this team really has a great opportunity to kind of not direct the future, but to be on, like I said, that cutting edge of seeing what the Lord can really do with us, this property, our facilities. So I just wanted to throw that out to you guys this morning. I know there's a few people here today that have been involved in this a little bit already, but we wanted to promote this to all of you because we want to be unified with the body of Christ. We want to all be on the same page. But we'd really love to hear your ideas and your thoughts towards a vision for 2015. Where should we be headed? But really, pray about this. I know I will. And let's see where the Lord leads in 2015 and beyond. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. We'll have a meeting for that on January 22nd. That's a Thursday night at 7. If you're interested in coming, you're more than welcome to come. Or if you have other thoughts or ideas, you can see Ben as well. We are, as well, having some changes with our children. Naomi and Bruce are going to be taking off sometime this spring. Depends upon the weather. When it stops snowing here or there, they are moving to Idaho. And so that's going to leave a gap in our children's ministry. We're already working on and have some things in place to replace them, which is great. We have some ladies and some others who are stepping up to help with our junior church. And so, as Ben mentioned, our Wednesday night Awana program, if some of you are not here on Wednesday nights, we run probably 70 kids or so, 80 kids or so. It's almost every room is full. We have a lot of stuff going on. And so we need to begin to connect with. One of the things that we've talked about is how do we connect in with these families that are attending our Awana program and ministry, who for all practical purposes, many of them are not connected into church anywhere. Kimberly is going to be starting this Wednesday night. It will be a ladies' Bible study with about 10, I think it is, of the women, the moms that come for Awana. We're just trying to be active and engaged with how we engage our community. And so when I stand before Christ, I want to be able to say, you know what, I was faithful to what you called me to do. And hopefully when all of us stand before Christ, that is our goal, to be able to say we weren't perfect and we didn't do everything exactly the way we were supposed to. But God, we were faithful to do what you called us to do. And that should be our heart's desire and our goal. God is doing some great things here at Whitneyville Bible Church. I am thrilled. I'm still just as excited today, January 4th, 2015, as I was, what was that, November 8th, 2013, the first Sunday we were here. I still look at this church and think the potential is huge. God has brought us through a lot over the last 15 years. And God has a lot of great things in store for us, I believe, when we continue to be faithful to Him. But as Ben mentioned, as we mentioned earlier, it's all because of His work and all because of His doing in our life and in our heart. So if you hear this warning and you're visiting, you think, well, I came to hear a message. Well, I think you got a message in some regard, but maybe not an expository message like you'll hear 51 other weeks out of the year. But we need to continue to present, where are we going? Where are we headed? What's going on? Why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish? Because when a church does not have vision, when an entity, an organization does not have a goal in mind, then we tend to just kind of wander aimlessly. And we need to make sure that we are accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. We need prayer. We need encouragement. We need help. We need support. We need people to step up and be involved in many different areas. One of the things that as new people come, and certainly as those that desire to join with us, one of the things that I ask them is, what has God impassioned you about? Because the last thing I want as a pastor is to say, well, here's my agenda, so let me find people who are willing to meet my agenda. Because I believe that God is sovereign, that He has sovereignly brought each one of you to this church. And He has sovereignly gifted all of us with different talents and abilities and desires and passions, that when all put together like a master jigsaw puzzle, when all put together will reflect the glory and the beauty of our great God. And so we don't want a bunch of clones of one another. We want to have people who are diverse, which we all are, who work together to image the glory of God so that He gets the glory, He gets the honor. When the world looks here at us, they say, man, that is a diverse group of people, but they're unified and they're motivated to serve the Lord that they love. That's the desire that we have. I'll leave you with one final passage of Scripture, two verses in the book of Jude. Jude concludes this one chapter book. He says this in verse 24, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." Why are we here? For the glory and the honor of God. We're not here for the glory and the honor of anybody else. We're here to exalt Him. We're here to proclaim Him. We're here to love Him, to know Him, to serve Him, and to faithfully communicate His love to those that we come in contact with. Each one of us has a different set of people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. If each one of us is faithful to fall in love with God, to allow His love to transform us, and to share that love with others, we'll be amazed to see what God accomplishes through us. Because in and of ourselves, we are nothing. We are but dust. That's why the psalmist says, you know my frame. You know that I am but dust. There is nothing to me, but it is God who works in and through us for His honor and glory. So I pray that 2015 will be a year where we look back and we say, thanks be to God, because He has done great things in and through us as individuals and corporately as a whole, as a church. We have a great God. We have a powerful God. He still lives. He still exists. He still works. And by His grace, we want to be able to say that we were faithful to Him, to proclaim Him to this community and to each other throughout this year. Let's pray, and then we're going to stand and sing a final song this morning. Father, thank you so much. It hasn't been an exposition of Scripture this morning necessarily, but a challenge from your word nonetheless, that all that we do is for your honor and glory. Father, help us as a church, Whitneyville Bible Church, help us to glorify you, to exalt you, to magnify you. Help us to allow ourselves to be used as you see fit, however that looks. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, your care for us. We thank you so much for what you have accomplished here at Whitneyville Bible Church over the last 50 plus years. Father, this church has been through much, but we thank you that you are greater, as you say, than he that is in the world. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your care for the body of believers that have called Whitneyville Bible Church home for however long they may have been here. Father, by your grace, by your empowerment, by your sovereignty, may we continue to faithfully proclaim you until you come to take us home. We pray these things in your name. Amen.